Today on Family Talk.
I never thought it would happen to them. Have you ever learned that a Christian couple who appeared to be the model of a biblical marriage was rocked by infidelity? Well, our guests today certainly fit that description. Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Today, we begin a two-part conversation on the theme of avoiding infidelity, revisiting a discussion Dr. Dobson had with Dr. Bob Record and his wife, Cheryl. Dr. Record served for 9 years as the president of the North American Mission Board, which is part of the Southern Baptist Convention. You'll hear Dr. Dobson refer to that season during today's conversation. Dr. Record is a popular speaker and author. He has previously served as the executive director of the Center for National Policy, which is a nonprofit educational foundation that seeks to advance the principles of what this nation was founded upon. The Records are the founders of Total Life Impact, which is an organization that challenges people to live a life that matters. Bob and Cheryl Record have been married for over 40 years, and they have 3 grown children. Here now is Dr. James Dobson to introduce today's guests on Family Talk.
Bob and Cheryl, we have really appreciated your work for the Lord, and I'm really honored to have you here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's our privilege.
Yes, it is.
Why is a man who is involved in a missions work writing a book like Beneath the Surface, whose subtitle is Steering Clear of the Dangers That Could Leave You Shipwrecked? Hmm. Why have you written on sexual affairs and sin?
Jim, I think it's because I see it at epidemic proportions. Everywhere I turn, marriage is breaking down. The census that was just taken in the 90s showed that households headed by single parents rose 72% just in the decade of the 90s.
Yes.
And to my knowledge, for the first time in our history as a nation, those households headed by mom and dad original still together is below 25% for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And it saddens me, and it sure saddens Cheryl as we deal with couple after couple after couple. But I have to remind myself, Jim, that we're human, and we all have a problem called a sinful nature. Right. And in the book itself, I chose two of God's leaders, Joseph in the Old Testament and David. Both of them wanted to serve God and make a difference, and both of them were faced with the opportunity to compromise their integrity, their fidelity, and their pureness sexually. One stood very tall, one fell very flat, and it can happen to any of us.
Cheryl, you are involved in some of this counseling. Your kids are grown. Right. You have an opportunity to travel, and you're on some of those foreign fields here in North America. What have you observed? As you deal with the women, what are you hearing?
Their hearts are wanting to give completely to the Lord. They're wanting to make a difference. They're wanting to make a change. One of the issues that often pops up is how busy their husbands are, how focused in they get on that ministry. And before long, if you're not careful, you know, ministry is never over. It's never a 9-to-5 job. There's never a time when you can say, I'm done.
Yeah.
And it's real easy, I think, for a man to get so focused there that he forgets about what goes on at home. And so you find women who get real lonely. Then they get maybe angry. And many of them don't feel like they can speak up well to that issue because the mistress, so to speak, is the work. It's not another person.
I appreciate the openness in this book about your own personal lives, if you don't mind my going there. Mm-hmm. But you indicate, Bob, that you were gone at one point 33 weeks out of the year.
Right.
And Cheryl, you were feeling kind of abandoned and alone too, weren't you?
Absolutely. I think we found ourselves, well, I can remember sitting on the couch one night, our second child, our son was less than a year old at that point, and it suddenly dawned on me as I sat there by myself for another night that it was more natural for Bob to be gone than it was for him to be home. He had really become kind of an interruption to
And
our
when
lives.
He came home, you had to adjust to
Absolutely.
The power structure changing
exactly.
at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
were you, boy, we're really getting personal here. Were you a sitting duck, so to speak, for another relationship at that time?
You know, there was a point in our lives, quite honestly, when Bob was traveling a lot. Bob is very good at what he does. He's a perfectionist, and he likes to get it all done. And he was traveling a lot then, too. I think, frankly, part of the challenge that we faced was the model that we had seen before us was often that ministry should be first. Men who were traveling many, many weeks. When that time that I made the statement to him about becoming an interruption had taken place, I had been pregnant with our son, of course, the previous year. And I was told by a head of a ministry that his wife had had all their babies induced to work around his travel schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the message.
That's priorities.
Yeah. Well, that was the message given to me, that this would always be first.
Bob, when you were on the road to that degree, did it ever occur to you that you were not meeting your needs to Cheryl and the family? I mean, I know the tradition you come out of, mm-hmm. because I'm out of an evangelical home, right. where my dad was an evangelist and gone a lot.
Right.
And I know that in those days, ministers felt so totally ordained by God to do this, mm-hmm. that they thought he would make up for mm-hmm. their absence at home.
Yeah,
but it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. And that's exactly what I thought, because that's what I had been modeled. And so coming home, traveling part of that 33 weeks of the year, I set on my suitcase in the foyer gym, and Cheryl was standing there with our four-year-old daughter hanging on her leg and our newborn son in her arms. And I said, boy, this has been a great 2.5-week trip. It's been amazing what God's done. The ministry's exploding. You won't believe it. I know you want to hear it. And she shook her head no. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what do you mean you don't want to hear it? Mm-hmm. God's been taking care of you. He's been blessing me. And I said, you sure do want to hear it, don't you? And she shook her head no. And by then she'd begun to cry. And that's when she looked at me straight in the face and said, you know, you used to be a contribution to our family. Now all you've become is an interruption. Mm-hmm. And if something doesn't change, I don't know where the kids and I will be a few months down the road. And
that hit you like a blow from a hammer?
Oh, man. It was like a gut punch, and the wind just went out. And I thought, here I'd been trying to do all the things that I'd been modeled, and suddenly everything's crumbling. What happened?
Cheryl, did you all talk that through? I mean, that was obviously a very important crisis point in your relationship. What happened?
Well, it was a crisis point. We sat down and we began to reprioritize at that point, and we began to talk about the travel. Frankly, Bob began to institute some things and in that ministry that would lead it so that he could travel somewhat less,
yeah.
and then we made a major change, and we left that ministry and spent the next 4 years when he was in the business world. It wasn't that we were on the verge of divorce. We weren't anywhere close. It wasn't like one of us had had an affair. We'd never had that happen. But we knew that if we didn't make some major changes in our life at that point, we could head there.
Now, Bob, that's a major point of your book, isn't mm-hmm. it? That there is a prelude to sexual indiscretion.
There is.
To sin. That
right.
there is a set of circumstances that leads to it. And frankly, what you just described, Cheryl, mm-hmm. I have heard, I can't tell you how many times. It's
yeah.
it's the same set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Husband believes with all of his heart that it's his responsibility to do whatever it is God's called mm-hmm. him to do, whether it's mm-hmm. business or ministry or whatever it is. And as long as he does that, he's met his obligations. And his wife is empty and lonely and mm-hmm. feels kind of lost and depressed. And then you are set up for something, even
right.
though it
yeah.
never occurred in your case,
right.
thank God. It does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, and Jim, let me be, as the husband, a little bit vulnerable here. And let me give a real compliment to Cheryl. When I was traveling so very much, and she was at home, at a particular stage in our journey, I was not pastoring. I was in a ministry that led me to public speak a lot. And the pastor of the church happened to start checking on Cheryl when I was gone. We were young, and how are you doing? And gosh, Bob's gone a lot. Is there anything I can do to help? I wasn't aware it was going on. To my wife's wonderful credit, she's always been, from the moment I met her and she had come to know Christ, a lady who has a hunger for the Word of God in her life. And she keeps it there regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy kept coming around, and it was amazing what occurred. She started realizing, as she was playing piano some at the church, that on Sundays, she was paying more attention to him than the message, mm-hmm. not in a sexual way, but in a, wow, he's the guy that really takes time to ask, am I doing okay, and compliments me when I have something on that he thinks is nice, and I wish Bob would do that. Of course, mm-hmm. I wish Bob were even here to do that. And I'll never forget, one Sunday we were sitting in church, and she said, we need to talk after church. And she shared with me what was happening. She said, you need to understand, I am not being sexually tempted to go run and have an affair. But I am so desperately wanting you to do what suddenly he's doing in my life. And I know that we're human and we're vulnerable, and I don't want to go there. And
did it make you mad, Bob?
It shocked me because I was just sort of dumb and stupid and never thought that could happen to me. It made me admire her a lot because that took a lot of guts to lay that on the table. It really disturbed me and made me angry down the road, Jim, when it came to light about a year later that this particular pastor had affairs with 9 women in our church, all of them whose husbands had traveled. And it could very well be that Cheryl was in the sights for number 10. And it was a wake-up call to me. It was an anger toward me mm-hmm. for not being more sensitive and aware. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life of understanding that as the husband, I'm responsible for more than just providing the house and the finances. I'm responsible for making her feel secure and for making her feel loved.
You know, the guy that you're talking about, whom I don't know, undoubtedly had observed that there is a way to get to women. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people just don't walk up on the street and say, how would you like to have an affair?
Right.
They observe that there's something empty inside.
That's exactly right.
They observe that there's a need there. Mm-hmm. And they begin meeting it, and the door's open.
Right.
And that is a very
temptation
sad.
Is there. Yeah. I mean, temptation's all around us, whether it's for a woman or whether it's for a man. Temptation is inevitable. And it's how we're going to deal with it that becomes so vitally important. For me at that time, I was so naive. It never occurred to me that a man of God would even think about doing these kind of things. So I think probably for me, it took a little while to recognize what was going on. But one of the things that I have found with women, and you asked that question a little bit ago, I find very few women are willing to be that honest with their husbands about that issue. They feel mm-hmm. like they're not supposed to say it. Or if they do say something, the men in their lives are not listening well.
Mm. Bob, the title of your book is Beneath the Surface. What's beneath the surface? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah. It's based on what happened with the Titanic. When it launched from England, everybody thought it was obviously the way to travel, the best appointed luxury liner of its day, by far the largest. And it was also called unsinkable. Yeah. Until the night of April 14th, when it sank in 3 hours, and it lost over 1,500 people, and they didn't have enough lifeboats, enough life vests, and it sank so fast they couldn't believe it. But it reminds me of a lot of marriages I see, Dr. Dobson, overly secure and confident, ill-prepared, call for help too late, and also avoid the warnings, because if you go back and study the history, they got 6 warnings of icebergs. And what sunk the Titanic wasn't what was above the surface, it was what was below it. And it wasn't a huge hole. If you study the history, it was 6 long, narrow gashes that put it down to the bottom. And it's not the big stuff that often brings us down, it's the culmination of the little stuff.
Cheryl, you had pointed out a story in the book that I asked you if you would share. Would you do that now?
I would be glad to. This is an email that a friend of ours, their daughter, wrote. The father got involved on the internet in a pornographic site, ended up going to a chat room and met a woman and walked out on his family, his wife of 25 years, and his daughter would later write him this email when he wanted to continue his relationship with his children unchanged, in spite of the fact that he refused to come home. And she says, I cannot comprehend the sincerity of anything you say anymore, Dad. You say that you love me, yet you knowingly hurt both me and my family. You say that you would die for me, but you are unwilling to live for me. You say that you miss me, yet it is you who left and abandoned me. I'm learning that words are a cheap commodity, especially your words. I'm angry with you for living a lie of deception and for going against everything you've ever taught me to be true and right. I disrespect you as a man, a husband, and as a father. You are a coward for not being willing to sacrifice something for the love of your own children. More than anything, I pity you. I pity you for throwing your life away for lust. You had every earthly thing a man could dream of, a loving family, two adoring children, a wonderful job, respect in our community, and all the possessions you could ever want. Yet you had a void in your life. Instead of filling that void with Christ, you allowed sin to fill it. You are caught inside a cloud of deception. I hurt for you because I know that one day you will look back at your life and realize that you lost everything for nothing. And I'm afraid for you because I know that God will deal with your sin in His time, and that will be far worse than any earthly punishment or grief you could encounter. You're in a dangerous position by not fearing the Lord. I cannot allow you back into my life until you have a change of heart. As much as it hurts me to push you away, I believe that it is necessary for my healing. I don't believe that my brother and I are really a necessity in your life as you claim. I recall the many times while growing up that you convinced us that a parent could not desire anything more than the love from his own children. Obviously, you've changed your mind, if you really ever meant those words in the first place. You seem to have no problem trading us for a replacement person. No matter how many times you say you love me, I cannot believe the words without seeing the actions. As disappointed and upset as I am, I will not cease to pray for you. I will pray that God will soften your heart. I will pray that you will not find the true peace or contentment until you are right with God. I will pray that one day, before we die, you will have a change of heart and lifestyle and that our relationship can be renewed. I will pray that in time, God will grant me the grace to forgive you. In the meantime, I will learn to live again. I will learn to trust and depend on the Lord to be my Father. I am thankful that God is a Father who will never betray, deceive, or hurt me. Life will be different and difficult at times, but I am confident that God will provide for Mama, my brother, and me. Each day will get a little easier and a little less painful to face.
It's a powerful statement. You know what it reminds me of? Bob, in your book, you talk about Joseph and you talk about David.
Yes, sir.
David and Bathsheba. And the consequence of David's adultery with Bathsheba and the murder that occurred of Uriah the Hittite was chaos in his own family. That's where it happens. Before you, our listeners, get into an affair like this, remember it will run right straight to your kids and the rest
that's
of
exactly
your family.
Right.
And that's what it did with David.
That's exactly right. And this young lady who wrote this email to her dad is 19 years old. Her dad was one of the most gifted men I've ever been around, Jim. He did his devotions in the Greek language. Mm-hmm. He was that kind of intellect, teaching others the truths of God. Amazing. And yet there was an empty void in his life and a crack that he did not give attention to, and it started on an internet pornography site. In the book of James in the Bible, it says, every man is drawn away when he is drawn away by his own evil desires. I mean, we can say the devil made me do it all we want, but the scripture's pretty clear that we have a sin nature deep down in us, and when it desires anything outside of a personal, growing, intimate relationship with God, cracks in the foundation come. And then they just start getting bigger. And it goes on to say, when he's drawn away of his own evil desire, and when desire gives birth to sin and sin grows, it brings death. And that's what it brings. It brings the death of relationships, the death of conscience, the death of meaningful intimacy. All that begins to die, as well as the spiritual segment of the life begins to wither.
Well, you have not only talked about the problem in Beneath the Surface, but you have offered some very practical advice for how people can avoid hitting what is beneath the surface from running into that iceberg. Help us with that. I mean, we're talking to people right now, and that even though they haven't done anything wrong, the hunger is there. What are they going to do with it? How do they handle it?
Well, in the book, I mentioned that two classes of people that are most vulnerable are the very gifted and the very busy. The very gifted...
Or both.
Yeah, or both. That's right. The very gifted can feel, gosh, I'm giving, and I've got a lot of strengths that God's blessed me with, and therefore this kind of thing shouldn't happen to me or be a problem. And they get blindsided. I've got a dear friend who was head of a national ministry who suffered from this kind of failure. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, all my life I had been told that sin attacks you at your weakest point, but nobody ever told me that it also attacks you through temptation at what you consider to be your strongest point. And he said, I always thought my strongest point was my marriage. Nothing would ever happen there. And that's exactly where the attack came. So one of the things is to say, hey, not only am I being careful at my weakest points, am I taking great care of what I think are my strongest mm-hmm. points, and what changes do I need to be making? The busy part. Bill Hybels, who many of us know at least of, pastoring a great church up in Chicago, has never had the problem that I know of the sexual issue. But he did have a problem, burnout. And in the late 80s, I'll never forget Bill saying to a group of us, after he was on the other side of the burnout, he said, there came a time when the work of the church around me began to kill the work of God within me. Mm. Think of that. And the work of the business around me, the work of the ministry around me, the work of the church around me can get so encompassing that it strangles out the work of God inside of me. So I think the other side is, look at your schedule. Are you trying to be Superman because the only place that exists is in the comics? Mm-hmm. I think on a practical side, Cheryl and I have learned the value of dating weekly, finding something to celebrate monthly, escaping quarterly. And then in the book, we put in questions that we think every husband and wife ought to ask themselves at least once a year in a retreat. Just go away somewhere and ask yourself those questions. And they don't allow you to stay above the surface.
Yeah.
They drive you below the surface in your relationship mm-hmm. and intimacy.
Hmm. Well, the time has gone by so very, very quickly. And but before we sign off today, I just feel a need for prayer. And I would like you all to say a prayer for those out there who are vulnerable, those who are on the precipice, who are considering making the biggest mistake of their lives. Before we do that, though, Bob, what time of life is the most dangerous? Mm-hmm. You discussed that to some degree in your book, I think. When do we have to be particularly careful?
Well, I think there's a few. One is shortly after a love relationship has really blossomed. My friend Gary Smalley says about 24 months down the road in a love relationship, the starburst emotion that seems to constantly be there early on sort of begins to die a little bit, and it's normal. And some people have unreal expectations that it's there all the time.
Yeah.
And so they need to understand.
I thought I loved you, but I don't.
Right. And it's just the wave and the roller coaster of emotions often. So that's one. I think another one is the height of a career. It's where David was. At the very height of his career, he fell over the precipice. I think another one is when the kids are gone, the empty nest. And suddenly you've been focused as a mom and a dad, husband and wife, on the kids so much that you haven't focused yeah. much on each other.
Right.
Those mm-hmm. are three biggies.
Well, Cheryl, close this program in prayer, will you? There are so many people that need yes. a touch from the Lord. Let's ask Him for it.
Father God, we just come before You in awe, thanking You that You are the God of us all. Father, I just pray that You would shine Your light on our lives. Lord, if there's anyone who is dealing with this temptation, I just pray that You would open their eyes to mm-hmm. see and to understand and to remember that You stand ready to help those who are tempted. Father, I thank You that You are holy and just. Lead them through this temptation.
And Father, I would just close by saying if there are people who have stumbled and fallen into temptation, I pray that we would remember if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even though we may have to live with some of the consequences because we are responsible for our actions. So, Lord, give them hope and give them especially the courage to make whatever change needs to be made in their life and to do it Your way, not theirs. I pray that on all of our behalf in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen indeed. A powerful and provocative conversation on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, featuring special guests Bob and Cheryl Record. Our theme for this discussion, centering on avoiding infidelity, a subject Dr. Bob Record discusses in his book called Beneath the Surface. For more information on how you can secure your copy, visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Be sure to join us again next time for the conclusion of a discussion designed to help Christian married couples stay true to their vows and each other. Avoiding Infidelity with Dr. Bob Record and his wife Cheryl will once again be our theme on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.